Curtis from Morro Bay coming in and answering the questions. And all of a sudden, now the jungle's all caught up in this. Maybe the guy's telling the truth. Was that a guy who came on the program yesterday and told the story about how he got rescued with a note in a bottle? And it jumped the day, and we called bullcrap, and we mocked this guy, we clowned this guy, we laughed at the guy, and then all of a sudden he produces video of the rescue. And you think, maybe he's telling the truth. But then you see inconsistencies in the story, and then he calls the show and says, I can address those inconsistencies. There's a reason for all those things. And he hangs up, and I'm left thinking, maybe it's true? Maybe it's true? Possibly? And I said, what do you clones think? Get your BS detector up. What do you think? Pauly T. Wall tweets, a good lie is only as good as the details, and Curtis is a master. At D. Dog Sports tweets, it seems plausible. He seems like a regular guy, not some Twitter troll looking to go viral. A. Duval 74 tweets, Curtis left out the part about how he made a friend out of a volleyball.
I'm sorry, Wilson!
At Sitch Norm AFU tweets, for what it's worth, I immediately thought it was a morning rescue. I believe him. It sounds like a busy camp area with others using the river who would find the bottle. So some of you believe this. Beaks in Studio City. Quote, it was actually two Sasquatches that found Curtis's bottle. Dan in Denver and his girlfriend. Beaks, you're not helping him. Chris in KC tweets, Curtis sells timeshares when he's not pestering your show. Pauly T. Wall tweets, I asked them for the bottle, then they asked me to leave the bar. Signed, Fabian. At the Suave Canuck tweets, why didn't you ask Curtis if he's ever golfed with the juice?
I'm walking up to the first tee, and there's a couple there, and the guy turns around, and boom, it's O.J. Simpson with his new girlfriend. And this was maybe a month after the trial, and I'm like, this can't be happening. And so I'm thinking, you know, what do you even say to the guy? And he's like, hey, I'm O.J., this is my girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. Now, this is going to sound even weirder, but he was the most likable, personable guy. He was going on about his days at USC, his days in Buffalo. You know, he bought me a couple beers, got me lunch.
That guy was lying out his ass. What about Curtis? Is he lying or is it plausible? Do you believe it? Some jungle drama. Hit me up right now. Call me. And I'm still thinking about it myself. I'll go back to that. Wesley Woodyard coming up next segment. Really quickly, I want to talk about Don Nelson. So back in February, the legendary five-time champ, three-time coach of the year, showed up at Oracle Arena for a night honoring the We Believe Warriors team of the 06-07 season. Part of that night included some media availability in which Nelly was extremely excited to volunteer. Because you have to understand, this guy showed up with this unbelievable look. Like, we've never seen Nelly like this. So people were eager to ask him, hey man, how you living? What's going on? What's your post-NBA life like?
Can each of you talk briefly about what you've been doing after basketball? Coach, I know you live in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, I've been smoking some pot, actually. I'm doing that, and I'm having a pretty good time. It's more legal now than it's ever been.
Isn't that amazing? Like Don Nelson, one of the all-time greats, one of the legends of the game. What have you been doing? Smoking pot? And not even like vaguely or nebulously saying, I'm living the life. Man, I'm having a great time. I'm relaxing. I'm playing some golf, spending some time with the grandkids, or even like surfing. He went right to it. Hey, what are you guys doing? What's everybody up to? I'm smoking pot.
Yeah, I've been smoking.
I'm blazing.
Pot,
yeah. What are you doing? So if it sounded like he was happy to let the world know that he lives in Hawaii and burns tree, it's because he was really happy to let the world know he lives in Hawaii and he burns tree. But then again, my man earned it. But ever since he dropped that new addition to his Wikipedia page verbally, others have been more interested to get more information, and it's a good thing. News organizations trying to gather intel and have followed him to Maui to get the full scope of his retirement life. It's not a bad assignment, right? I wish somebody had said to me, hey, Rome, we need you to go to Maui to hang out with Nelly. But nobody did. However, the New York Times beat me to it. They were the first to dig in. And they found out that Nelly is not merely twisting Kron. He's also growing it. And he's got his own farm in his backyard where he's cultivated a custom strain called Nelly Kush. He told the Rag at the time, quote, I didn't think I'd ever be a pot smoker, but hanging out with Willie Nelson and Woody Harrelson and guys like that, you know, everybody smokes in my poker games. It's just become kind of natural. Usually you're smoking with your friends, sitting around, telling stories, you smoke a bowl, end quote. Add that to his resume. Five-time NBA champ, three-time coach of the year, Hall of Famer, and peer pressured into smoking dope by Willie Nelson and Woody Harrelson. So that was good, but there was more. Somebody had to get it. HBO made the trip. Brian Gumbel followed Don Nelson around for a couple of days and unearthed a couple of gems for an episode of Real Sports, which dropped this week. The only problem I'm having with the two clips is deciding which one I like better, which one's more amazing. Let's start with the Dro. Because if you thought that Don Nelson was growing pot, and by growing pot, I mean had a single plant and a heating lamp in a basement closet, or one like you had in your dorm room back in the day, then you don't know Don Nelson.
Retirement is good.
Yeah, retirement is good.
You got the farm.
I have a farm up there, yeah.
How big a farm?
22 acres. We grow koa trees, flowers. We grow pot.
You smoke every day?
Oh, yeah.
Do your plants require a lot of attention up there on the farm?
Yeah. You got to treat it like a baby.
Really?
You got to water them. You got to have music for them. You got to bless them when you go in. Here's the whole process, I'm telling you.
Damn. So not only does my man have a farm, he has a 22-acre farm. Not only does he smoke pot, he smokes pot every day. And what about the plants? He treats them like babies. He waters them. He plays music for them. He blesses them. He treats his kush better than you treat your kids. My man is out in Hawaii playing music for his plants and blessing them. So the question on everybody's mind is, what kind of tunes do you bump for a cannabis plant? Unfortunately, that was not asked. But I'm just going to assume that Nelly pulls up a psychedelic space rock playlist on Spotify to set the mood. I also don't know what kind of a blessing a 50-year NBA lifer is giving to a pod of weed plants. Maybe he just reads the lyric sheet to Sweet Leaf by Black Sabbath, where a 26-year-old Ozzy Osbourne professes his undying and unconditional love for the lettuce. Or maybe, I mean, he is what he is, right? Maybe he coaches the plants up. I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is that Don Nelson is not just growing weed. He's out there on an island blessing his cabbage. Then there was the topic of that legendary poker game, which has featured many of his celebrity friends who stopped by Maui on vacation to play cards in Nelly's house, in Nelly's card room. And every great poker player who has a poker card room has got this. They've got the painting of their boys at their favorite table or their favorite game. I've seen this. I've seen this at other rich guys' houses. They do this. Poker players all do this. And he's no different. He's got a painting with his buddies who have played the game. And at one point during that episode of Real Sports, Nelly points to an unknown friend in the painting, and he tells Brian Gumbel who that guy is.
Well, this guy up here, he died in my poker room.
He didn't really die here.
He did. He died right there, right in front of us. And the guy said, what should we do, Nelly? I said, he would want you guys to play.
So you played around a dead guy?
We did.
Right, like, never mind the dead guy. Deal me in, Nelly. Where are my cards, Nelly? Everybody knows that aces and eights have been referred to for centuries as dead man's hand. I think the new definition of dead man's hand should be when you literally die at Don Nelson's house playing poker, and the game continues around your lifeless body. You know, because he'd want us to. Kenny Rogers once crooned, you got no when to hold him, no when to fold him, no when to walk away. The dude didn't know his game literally folded. And they kept playing. Apparently a poker buddy croaking at the table was not the time for anybody to walk away either. Not if you had a good hand. Not period. Nelly said later in the interview that the game finally stopped when the mortician arrived. But until then, they were just dealing around the guy. The dead guy. Or so goes the story. And right now the guy's... This is great. So where's the guy right now, right? Where was he laid to rest? Apparently in Nelly's home. And not only apparently in Nelly's home, but in one of Nelly's cigar tubes. Right now, the guy's ashes are being kept in a Cuban cigar tube that Nelly has hanging on his wall. So, in effect, the dead guy really never left that game. And, you know, like a fine bottle of wine, Nelly's probably just waiting for the right time to fire up that cigar and smoke his deceased bro. Now, I don't really know why the family doesn't want the ashes. I mean, is there not a wife or kids or parents that are like, hey, dad or my beloved, dearly beloved husband croaked at Nelly's game? Can we please have the remains? Nope. We want Nelly to have them. We want Nelly to fire up that cigar one day. Man, I would love to be at that game when somebody's like, damn, Nelly, you are living the life, man. What is that, a Cohiba? Nah, man, that's Johnny. It's my man Johnny. He died here once. It's got to be some crazy, crazy strain that they're burning if they played right through a dead dude. Man, how good must that Nelly Kush be? Deal around him, boys. No reason to stop the fun, man. We're having a good night. Woody, Willie. Hey, can somebody please ante up for dead Johnny over there? Yo, Woody. Yo, Nelly. No, not me, Nelly. You, Nelly. Willie Nelson. You pay your taxes, Nelly? It's kind of like the NFL, right? Like when a dude suffers a catastrophic injury on the field, they wheel his ass off. They keep right on playing. Except in this case, they didn't wheel homeboy off. He was dead. They just left him there. Man, Nelly really is living the life. The life of playing music and blessing his lettuce on the regular, playing through dead guys. He is living his absolute best life, even in the presence of a guy who's no longer living at all. Damn, Nelly, keep on trucking. Keep on trucking, Nelly. Oh, and always remember, Nelly, gas, grass, or ass. No one rides for free, Nelly.
Here's the whole process, I'm telling you.
This guy, man. Isn't it amazing, like, when guys have the careers they have, athletically or in coaching or in playing or in both, like Nelly, it's never good after that. It's never the same. The cheering stops. They lose their identity. Damn, Nelly's life got like 1,000 times better when the cheering stopped. This guy is wired. He set it up perfectly. Good on you, Nelly. Just remember, gas, grass, and ass. Nobody rides for free.
Here's the whole process.
Twist me up one, Nelly. When we come back, Wesley Woodyard joins us. Also, is Curtis lying? I know Curtis wants us to look at him. I know Curtis wants us to talk about him. It worked. But is it possible that he's telling the truth? You've got the facts. You've seen the video. What do you think? That, Wesley Woodyard, Major League Baseball's got a few problems. All that and more when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Really dynamic show today, right? Back in hour number one, we had Dave Stewart, former MLB great, in studio. Ben Mesrick came on in hour number two. We talked cryptocurrency with him and Bitcoin. Then we got a phone call from Curtis, who was trying to substantiate his claim that he was rescued from a message in a bottle. And now we talk some NFL. We are joined by a linebacker for the Tennessee Titans. He led them with 124 tackles last season. He had 12 quarterback pressures, 7 tackles for a loss, 4.5 sacks, and a fumble recovery. 2017 Titans recipient of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. 3-time Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee while in Denver. You might remember he was undrafted out of Kentucky in 08. Season opener is at Cleveland September 8th. It is a CBS game at 1 p.m. You want to make a note of that. Eastern time. Wesley Woodyard is my guest. Wesley, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, great to be back, man. Nobody gives an intro like you. My day's made now.
My man, me too. Now that you're back on My Day's Made too, you've had a really, really impressive career. You know, before we talk football, I do have to ask you though, Wesley, you had an extremely busy offseason like you always do, including the fact that you and your wife welcomed your 4th child. What has that been like so far?
Oh, man, I can thank you so much, man. It's been a huge, like, just a joy for the family and a blessing, man. My baby girl, Lane Lennox, is, you know, she'll be two months in the 30s, so she's growing. The family loves her, man. It's just a beautiful thing.
Good for you. Congrats. Wesley Woodyard joining us. Now, when you and I talk in the offseason, in the past, normally it's at a time where you're coming right off the water to make the call. You've been doing some serious water skiing recently. Am I correct in thinking that you were out on the water with Grant Hill? Is that true? How did that come to be, if so? And who's the better water skier?
Oh, man. Well, you know, well, right now I'm catching up to Grant. You know, his daughter inspired everybody to take up skiing, man. And, you know, he called me out. Well, actually, I called him out, told him I was going to take over the lakes. And he sent me a video about 2 minutes long of him just skiing. So I was like, yep, this is serious now. You know, you challenge the Hall of Famer, you better come with it because he took it serious.
Wesley Woodyard joining us. Right. I mean, you guys like that, they're competitive in everything they do. You guys are all like that. Tell me for a minute about lake life. For those who have not spent time on a lake, what do you like best about it? What is lake life like?
You know what, man? Honestly, man, I'm like a big nature kind of guy. You know, I grew up watching Crocodile Hunter, thinking I was Crocodile Hunter in LaGrange, Georgia, jumping on, you know, lizards, trying to catch rabbits and chickens, whatever you can catch. But, man, it's kind of like the animal planet back here on the lake. You know, you see it. I've seen alligators a bunch of times, actually, right off my back of my dock. So, man, it's like the animal planet. You see bald eagles. You see osprey eagles. You see owls. You see every little bit of thing, man. So it's cool, you know, catching up with nature and learning what's out there. But more importantly, man, I'm out there on that lake having fun, enjoying life. My kids are out there swimming. And it's a pretty cool feeling. I always wanted a lake house, but I never knew I would be living on a lake. Man, it's kind of cool.
That's the best. Wesley Woodyard joining us. And as always, you're giving back. Your 16 Ways Foundation has had a number of events. And this weekend, your track club has a big state meet where you're going to have more than 30 kids competing. What's it like for you to see the track club taking off the way it has?
Man, you know, the track club has been doing this thing now. Honestly, that is actually how I kind of got my start, man, and you know, just really my technique and running through my co-founder of the foundation who runs our track club. Now it's in Michigan, but at the time it was in Georgia. And, you know, just the love and care and passion for track and helping kids to see in life, man, it's been something that my cousin Derek has been on since day one, and they're getting ready to compete for the Junior Olympics. We had 38. Of our track members, you know, reach qualifying rounds, and 32 are going to be competing. The other 6 are, you know, they're taking a little family time. But, man, it's just great to see that kids have something to do in the summer and that they have people pushing them to be great, you know, and to be successful in life. And that's what it takes, man, in the kids, for these young kids today. Just constantly, every day, all day, just continue to pour into these kids and show them that, hey, it's a brighter future, whether that's through academics, athletics, or, you know, a simple just to pick you up, man. And that's what our track club is about.
That's the best. Wesley Woodyard joining us. That is so important. That is critical. Now, you're entering your 12th year. You're 12 years in, and that's a long, long time to play in the NFL, especially if you're a linebacker. I'm not looking to put any time limits on you, but at one point, you talked to a friend, Keenan Burton, and he's another former Kentucky Wildcat.
Yep.
He got hurt, Wesley, early in his career. He never had a chance to play to his potential. What did he tell you when it comes to thinking about how long you want to play?
Man, you know what? Keenan actually checked me, man. My goal was to play 10 years. You know, that was something I was like, just make it to 10, make it to 10. That was something I used to always say, and I said it around him. And he was like, no, bro. He was like, you see how my career happened. And, you know, and Keenan, man, he loves the game of football, man. He was one of the competitors that I always competed with every day at the University of Kentucky. And to me, that is one of the reasons why I became a successful player for having a teammate like Keenan. But he was like, Wes, just challenge yourself, man, and go 15. And then, you know, take it from there. But he was like, man, don't shortchange yourself and say 10. You can play as long as you want to, as long as you stay healthy and you still love the game. And, man, I've just been blessed to have an inner circle that keeps me straight like that.
We're talking to Wesley Woodyard. You know, I want to ask you about another teammate, too. You and I have talked about your connection with Brian Dawkins in the past. I mean, the longer you're in the game, the more you know about the game. How much more do you respect the way Doc approached his craft and his game?
I've looked back at it. I mean, I'll be playing with probably about 5 or 6, maybe, Hall of Famers, man. B-Dog was one of those guys that taught me every day is you got to live it like it's your last, Jack. You got to give it your all. And it's like, man, to see a man, a guy like that, just step up to the bat every day and go hard, man. This year, I'm going to have a chance to win this champ, Bailey being inducted into the Hall of Fame. So it's like, man, how can you sit here and learn from these guys? And to me, this is one of the reasons why I feel like I'm a good leader. I'm a great leader because I've learned from some of the greats, and you have to change this game, and that's what it's all about. So when a guy comes in the locker room, you know, I will hope that I would be one of those guys that he looked up to give some of that advice, man, because I've seen a lot in 20 years, and I just want to pass it on to the younger generation and at the same time winning football games.
So, Wesley, do you think, like, in terms of Brian Dawkins, was he doing that with a lot of the younger guys and the younger generation, or did he take a particular interest in you? And if so, why do you think that was?
You know, I sit back and I ask myself that a lot, you know, but honestly, the caliber of man Brian is, he does it to everybody. Everybody is welcome to be around him. But, man, it's honestly intimidating to be around B-Dog because you sit here and you stare at and watch a man that does everything the right way. And it can be intimidating to some people to not be around him, not want to be good. But I was like, man, let me soak up anything I can learn from you, bro. And he just like my work ethic, and he saw every day I came in there to lead. I had a smile on my face no matter what happened. We was going to be in there, brothers. We were going to have fun. So that's what it's all about, man, that camaraderie of the game and being in the locker room with greats like that.
Wesley Woodyard joining us. Let me ask you about one more guy like Doc. Was it intimidating because of how great he was and how serious he was, or how much was just about his physical intimidation? I bring that up because, like, Champ Bailey. Like, Champ Bailey was your guy too, right? Was it intimidating to be around Champ Bailey?
Hey, I'll tell you quick. It was intimidating to be around Champ because I seen this man catch 6 interceptions in practice one day, and it was like, what? And you're going to catch 2 of them with one hand? So his competitive level was just out of the water with Champ. But when he came to B-Dog, he had it everything. He had a competitive speed. And then I tell you what, he'll sit here and stand in the weight room at the front door pumping the irons after a 2-a-day practice, challenge you, come on, let's get it, let's go. So B-Dog definitely had that intimidation factor. You walk in the locker room and you saw Weapons X locker, it's like, dang, that's B-Dog. That's the aura of Brian Dawkins, man. And you know, I actually got a little piece of memorabilia from the locker, man. He gave me one of his helmets, so it's cool, man. That was a great experience in life right there.
Dude, I could just keep following you on this topic. It's amazing to me because in the NFL, an NFL locker room, there's nothing like it. I mean, you got alpha dogs everywhere across that room. How does one or two guys separate themselves from every other alpha?
Man, you know, honestly, just doing what you do. Like, you know, okay, there's some alpha dogs that don't have to say anything and that can move the crowd. There's some alpha dogs that has to bark and get everybody to move by. But the main thing is, whatever it is that you do, do it day in and day out. Don't try to switch up. Don't try to be this guy or don't be an up and down kind of guy. You got to stay competitive. You know, you got to challenge people. You got to come to work every day and work hard and want to be there and show your teammates, like, hey, you know, I want to be like you, or I want to do such and such this way just because I saw you do it. And I think, man, that's the challenge, and that's what separates the greats, man. Like, your Von Miller's, man, his locker was next to mine, too, and just to see the way that he's transitioned his whole thought process and mind process as far as taking on the league and the NFL as a businessman. And it's just great to see guys like that grow up around you and just play the game of football, because that's what it's all about. And the ones that stick around the longest are the ones that find themselves hanging with other alpha dogs.
Wesley Woodyard, my guest. So finally, Wesley, I mean, you have so much to bring to it, but when I look back, I mean, obviously you were undrafted out of Kentucky in 08, and here you are having this marvelous career. You're 12 years in. How do you explain that? How were you able to not only make it in, survive, but thrive that long, starting where you started? What's the key? What's the secret?
Bless, man. Jim, man, just, I'll tell you what, man. I heard something from one of my coaches, man, and it touched me. My high school coach, he was like, every year, you got to get better. And actually, he was like, man, Wes, you're getting better every year that you play football. And I think that's like a challenge for me, and it should be a challenge for everybody, too. Last year, you did this, but what can you do this year? What can you do more in the community? What can you do more on the football field? And I think those things tie in because, you know, there's this saying that's been going around in gyms where the only person that you, the only competitor that you need to compete with is yourself. And that's true every day. Like, every day you got to compete with that man in the mirror or that woman in the mirror and make yourself greater. And that's what it's all about.
Wesley Woodyard, linebacker for the Titans. He led them with 124 tackles last season. He is a three-time Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee while in Denver. He was the 2017 Titans recipient of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And they're going to open it up against Cleveland. My man, I appreciate you. You know this. You come on all the time. Wesley, great to get caught up, man. Thanks so much.
All right, Gino, talk to you later, man.
You be good. Wesley Woodyard. Wesley comes on enough, and he's enough jungle fan. Fam. That he can just end that with, talk to you soon, man. Because we will. We always do. And the reason we always do that is, one, good content. Two, I love plugging into that guy. I always feel better. I always feel motivated. I always feel challenged when I talk to Wesley Woodyard. He is a great leader. All right. Like I said, really eclectic show today. Great show. Dave Stewart in studio. Ben Mesrick talking crypto. The thrilling and courageous rescue of Curtis in Morro Bay. Allegedly. I haven't apologized to him formally yet, either on or off the air. Well, if I do it, I'll do it on the air for sure so you all hear it. I'm just not sure, man. I'm almost there. I'm almost there, but did that really happen? Or does he just want us to talk about him? We have. If that were the goal, if that was the goal, that worked. Curtis has gotten a lot of airtime. Again, do you believe what he was selling? When we come back, one last segment. I'm back tomorrow. They hit it hard because I'm off next week. So get in here right now. Post smack off. What are your thoughts? 1-800-636-8686. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Got a Laker update for you momentarily. All right, so a few things. Last segment. I'm still asking you whether or not you buy what Curtis is selling. Do you think that he was rescued? Is it legit? He did produce videotape of his girlfriend getting airlifted. He came on the show today. He addressed every concern that I had, but did he address it well enough for you to buy it? This guy writes, Rome, Curtis's story doesn't hold water. Signed, water bottles with messages in them. Stephen PHX. Justin White emails. Rome, I went down a river that was too fast and surrounded by dinosaurs. And at the end, I fell down a waterfall and almost got eaten by a T-Rex. Miraculously, I made it to a safe spot to exit the boat. I even got a great action photo down the waterfall to prove it. Bro, that sounds like the Jurassic Park ride at Universal Studios. You know why that sounds like that? Because that is that. All right, so now the last word. I wasn't sure which way to lean, but now that Randall is in, now I know. Randall writes, Jimmy, don't let Curtis Manti Te'o. No, don't let Curtis Manti Te'o you. Here's what happened. He was on vacation. He saw Ben Affleck filming a movie. He asked for a pic. Look at the pic. That's definitely Ben Affleck. Also, Curtis doesn't look distraught in that pic, nor does his girlfriend. Look how clean their clothes are. They don't look tired at all. 100% fake story. Randall, WFI in the OC. Yeah.
Get to the chopper!
Here's something else. Now, we're showing the videotape once again on CBS Sports Network. I'm looking at it in the monitor. A number of you have searched the story on Google or on the internet and you can't find it. So you're calling BS on that too. I have not done that myself. I've not looked for it. So another reason why you're not buying it. Randall lays it out. They don't look tired. They don't look dirty. 100% fake. They don't look distraught. We can't find the story on the internet. All right. Woj tweets. The Lakers are trading Mo Wagner, Isaac Bonga, and Jamario Jones to the Wizards as part of the Anthony Davis deal with New Orleans. League sources tell Zach Lowe and me. Deal clears contracts and creates more cap space for free agency. Also, Anthony Davis is waiving that $4 million that he had coming to him to make that happen. So that clears out cap space so they can get that max space that they can use to make a run at somebody else, to have their own big three. The big three in Kyle Kuzma. Now, they may have to play 4-on-5, but if they get somebody to come in and they've got a big three in Kuzma, they might be able to. Iron Man Minutes. So LeBron, you play 40-plus every single night coming off that injury. Hey, listen, LeBron, AD, they've cleared out that space. If they can add one of these guys, one of these max guys, you have yourself the creation of another super team. And then maybe the Lakers are the team to beat in the West. Unless the Rockets can get Jimmy Butler. 1-800-636-8686. I guess what I'm trying to say to you, if they can get one of those go-to guys, it's time to start pouring the Linda Rambis statue. I mean, think about this. Bring on Kyrie. Bring on Kyrie. I mean, the more strategic move would have been to spread that money around. We'll see. I mean, look at what Toronto did, right? Toronto built a really deep team. A deep team which enabled them to rest their stars throughout the regular season, load management, keep them fresh, be ready for the postseason. I mean, did we learn anything from the NBA Finals? Or, better yet, go with three max guys, another good player, and a bunch of scrubs. Three max guys, Kyle Kuzma, and some scrubs. It is interesting, though, right? J.R. Swish. So if they get their third guy, who is it? Is it Kawhi? You really think Kawhi is going to come to L.A. and be a third wheel? Kyrie. Didn't Kyrie bust the hell out of Cleveland to get away from LeBron? Kemba. How about Kemba? It's getting pretty interesting. Klay Thompson, we know, has L.A. roots, but I don't think he's going anywhere. And then this, Chris Haynes tweets, LeBron James is giving his new teammate Anthony Davis his 23 jersey for the upcoming season. They're in the giving mood, right? Bron's giving his 23 to Brow. Yeah, I'm sure Bron wouldn't make any more money on a new jersey number. All right, so Lakers saying, hold my beer. Anything about us? Hey, great, bring it on. I'm more than happy to give Linda Rambis her own trophy in front of Staples if they pull this off. Go ahead and put a Palinka jersey up in the rafters. Give Linda Rambis her own statue in front of Staples. Why the hell not? And is it any coincidence that all of a sudden they got a hell of a lot better when Magic left? Now deals are getting done. 1-800-636-8686. All right, this guy is in the East Bay and says he's in search and rescue. So he's got some insight to bring to it. Let's go to the East Bay. Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Jim, how are you? I'm great.
Good, man, good. What's up?
So I got a lot of questions left that the layperson's not going to want to, or doesn't know to ask this guy, Curtis, and I want to share those with you guys today.
Please, all right. Do it. Yeah, yeah.
So he gets discovered at 11:30, 12 a.m., and by some rescue team, and then he's left alone from the helo for 8 hours. I got a real problem with that because where's that search and rescue team? Where'd they go? They didn't come down and medically evaluate them for hypothermia. They didn't come check this guy and make sure they didn't have any busted limbs or that, you know, that they're okay. They just up and leave and they're out. We'll see you at 8:30. Second thing, all search and rescue in the state of California is attached to law enforcement, and law enforcement has a lot of resources. So I'm a rescue team leader. I roll up on, you know, three soggy people at the bottom of a waterfall. I can't get down there safe with my team. Guess what I'm doing? I'm calling in the rope rescue team, and we're going to rappel down and pick these kids up. Let's say they're all healthy and they're all good. We can hike them out. So let's say someone's injured. I can't get them out. Where's the water resource? They came down by river, right? Where's the law enforcement sheriff's Zodiac with the outboard motor and the dudes in the helmets? Where's those guys? And again, okay, we'll see you later till 8:30. Hope you're all right. Hope you survive the night. No way. I'm just not buying this guy's story. They went right to the helo first? Come on.
All right, so Chris, what you're saying is making me question it all over again. What do you make, though, of the videotape that he produced? There's videotape of his girlfriend being airlifted out of there the next morning or the next day. What do you make of that?
I'm an outdoorsman. I'm outside all the time. I hike a lot. I'm thinking to myself, how's that guy's cell phone made it 36 hours without going dead? Maybe he's good like me. Maybe he carries an extra battery. But I don't know, man. I don't know. It seems got there's a lot of holes on the search side. If you're in a traumatic situation, wouldn't you remember every excruciating detail? Where was, you know, I had these great rescuers. My rescuer's name was Bob, and he was there, and they took care of us. They kept me warm. You know, they gave me food. Where was all that? There's just a giant 8-hour gap between, hey, we found you. See you tomorrow. I just don't see it.
All right, Chris, I appreciate that. Let me respond because I'm running out of time. That helped me a lot. I really appreciate you calling. So that's a search and rescue guy, Chris in East Bay, saying, yeah, well, you asked some questions, Rome, but there are a few questions that you didn't ask. My man is dunking on Curtis's head right now. My man's dunking on Curtis and hanging from the rim and swinging from the rim. I hate to say it, Curtis. I'm not saying that you're lying, but after talking to Chris, who's in search and rescue, you're not getting your apology from me today. I'm going to need to think this through. Now, I'm not saying you're a liar. I'm saying you're not getting an apology from me. He made some valid points, Curtis. My thanks to Wesley Woodyard, Ben Mesrick, Smoke, Dave Stewart. It's kind of curious, isn't it? A couple of guys named Stewart with the same nickname, Smoke. You tell me who's more worthy of that, Tony Stewart or Dave Stewart? I don't think you need to even answer it. Dave Stewart, 3-time World Series champ. I am off after tomorrow. Tomorrow's your last day. It's a walk-off day. XR4TI. Getting it done today. You want to make sure you dent them up, back it in, finish strong tomorrow, and I will see you then. Thanks for listening. We are out.